following program is brought to you by your friends at TheForce.net.
Oh, Maxie bit the Force.
And RebelScum.com.
You Rebel Scum.
The galaxy is listening.
You need that. You need that. No, no, no. Alawa. You need that.
Welcome to the Forcecast, your weekly dose of Star Wars news and much more.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe. I suggest we use it.
All systems have been alerted to your presence, sir.
Check it out, Corporal.
Roger, roger.
Now, your hosts of the Forcecast, Jason and Pete.
We would be honored if you would join us.
This is like a record, having the both of us back 2 weeks in a row.
I wouldn't go as far as to say a record. I mean, we were here for quite a lot of episodes.
It's
before.
A recent record.
Yeah, well, you know, you'll have that.
But it is good to be here.
Absolutely.
We've got, we'll be coming back to that absolutely here later, thanks to John Fagan.
I haven't thrown it out there very often lately, so I figured I'd give the fans what they want, you know?
Well, it's one of those things where I'm very conscious of it now, and like you said a few weeks ago, I'm conscious of it in other conversation.
Yes.
I hear other people say it. And so I'm very, I'm hesitant to use it. So I say like, right on, or yeah, man.
Or I just smack them.
Well, welcome to the show. This week's Forcecast for July 27th, 2007. And we are the official podcast of TheForce.net and RebelScum.com. And happy to be here. Kind of a strange, potpourri, selection of news this week.
Well, you know, again, it's that calm before the storm. You know, we had Celebration 4, and then things kind of quieted it down, and then Celebration Europe, and now things are quieting down. Then Comic-Con this week.
Yeah. Actually, as we record this, I think Dan Curto and I don't know if Dave's there or not, but I know Dan's at least there.
Hard at work.
Hard at work, that's right.
The man that never sleeps.
Yep. Photographing all of the collectibles. You know what I'm thinking about, don't you? That Macquarie, Obi-Wan and Yoda 2-pack.
Slipping by the wayside.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, and I know that's going to be the hard one to get for convention season.
Yep.
Because I will never have it. And I desire it.
Right.
And, you know, it's always that way. Whenever it's the one item, you know, the ones that I, you know, don't care about, you know, no big deal, but the ones that I really say, I'd really like to have that, and the ones that I have no chance of getting, you know, like Lava Vader.
Yeah.
The dumbest, lamest.
That still haunts you to this day.
It does. Well, you were with me when we were making the rounds that day.
I've made peace with that, so we're fine now. But
it was a dark day.
It was a bad. Well, we made some great finds that day, but we were just upset that we didn't make it out early enough for...
Yeah, to catch them as they were being sold in the parking lot for $30 a piece.
Sons oh, boy.
Yeah. Anyway, well, we want to thank our sponsors here, the ones that make the show possible, Official Picks. Check them out at officialpicks.com. They'll be having their fan club breakfast at Comic-Con this weekend. So those of you who are lucky enough to have gotten your tickets for that, enjoy. There's lots of ways you can be a part of the show. You can give us a call, 330-871-4TFN, and leave us a voicemail. Or you can just Skype us at username Forcecast. You can email us at podcast@theforce.net. Check out our forums at rebelscum.com. There's always exciting things going on there. Lots of trivia lately, I've noticed.
Yes.
I can't even get in on that. It happens so fast. You know, as soon as a thread gets started, bang, it's like 19 replies.
Well, I have 1 point.
Oh, yeah.
Because John was nice enough to lob me a softball right at the beginning and let me get in on it. And everybody goes, oh, well, if we put it out there for Pete, we know the answer, but we'll let him answer. So I didn't
answer. Oh, did they let you?
Yeah.
They let you be first? What was the question? You remember?
It had to do with Billy Dee. Of course.
Speaking of Billy Dee, we got to, you know, by popular demand, and by popular demand, we mean ourselves, we wanted more Billy Dee. From his new hit show, it might be a hit. It's the only what competition does it have? It's the only nighttime soap on the network.
There it is.
There you go. Night Shift, spinoff of General Hospital. Now, your fiance, I can say that now. Your fiance, is she a General Hospital watcher?
She used to be.
Uh-huh.
Not quite so much anymore because she has to work. But somebody's got to support me. But she is enthralled with the fact that it's on in the evening, and she knows enough to know what's going on. So her utterance of, I said, "Well, how's Billy Dee?" Ridiculous. You're darn right, baby.
This is the latest clip, and thanks to Jimmy for sending this down. This is Billy Dee as the character Toussaint giving a little pep talk.
If the day ever comes where I can't look my granny in the eye because I've disappointed her, it won't be because of some stupid clerical error.
Well, I'm not an oracle, but I'm going to make a prediction. Not only will you not disappoint your grandmother, you're going to make her very proud.
How do you always know exactly what to say to make a girl feel better?
Not always.
It works every time.
Oh, man.
He's just pure gold.
He is. He's. I can't get enough. I'm going to have to start watching this show now.
Yes. I'll just TiVo it and fast forward until I see him pop up.
The Billy Dee parts.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so Words of Wisdom by Toussaint, also known as Billy Dee Williams on Night Shift. All right. So every time you and I start talking about Indy 4, it's inevitable. We have to talk about him. You know, as Dustin referred to him a couple weeks ago, SL.
SL, yes.
No one seems to know how to pronounce his name. So, well, I shouldn't say no one. We don't, which is really not saying much. But apparently, we have been corrected. We got an email here from Adam who says, look, guys, it's pronounced Shia LaBeouf. And if you don't believe us, here he is himself.
I want to say I'm Shia LaBeouf. I am 20 years old. And I am hosting Saturday Night Live. This has been the greatest week of my life. My movie Disturbia just opened. I just found out that I'm going to be starring in Indiana Jones 4, and I'm here. I don't know. I don't know how to take it. I'm just going to jump for a second. Let me just jump. Let me get it out. Let me just get it out. All right, it's out.
It's out. We know how to say his name. That's for sure. Okay, so Shia LaBeouf. Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf.
Okay.
I think we've got it down now.
Yeah. What is it, Pete?
Shia LaBeouf.
No.
I'm sorry. Sorry.
Shia LaBeouf.
Say it.
Shia LaBeouf.
All right.
I've got it now.
All right. They used to call me LaBeouf. Not for many years.
There's so many jokes that just went through my head right now that are inappropriate that I'll just pass on all of them.
Just remember.
Shia LaBeouf.
All right. Now, you put this up, Pete. What do you want to talk about this a little bit? The RebelScum.com has a little contest going on?
That's right. All I have to say about this is free. And it's a contest with RebelScum, Cool Toy Review, and Sideshow Collectibles. And you've got a chance to take home a bunch of cool prizes. They've got four of them. Premium format Han Solo, an Acme Unframed Count Dooku character key, which I love. Hot Toys Robocop cool. with Flight Pack, and a Boromir.
Wait. Hold on a second. I'm sorry. When did he fly? Was this on the cartoon?
I don't know. Maybe it was in the video game. He's RoboCop. He can do whatever he wants.
Oh, RoboCop 3, it says.
Oh.
Okay. This is from RoboCop 3.
Guess that just shows that we didn't see RoboCop 3.
Right. Yeah. I stopped at RoboCop 1.
Yeah,
actually. Well, which was a pretty cool movie.
He's a machine. He comes back. He has human feelings. We get it.
Part man. Part machine. All cop.
And then a Boromir, son of Denethor, 1/6 scale figure from Lord of the Rings. How do you get in on this? It's easy. All you have to do is post in select sections of RebelScum and Cool Toy Review forums anytime Monday, July 23rd until Friday, August 10th. That's right. If you just post, it's got to be a full sentence, no less than 10 words. You got to do that. So, you know, don't post like 17 different post with one sentence in it, like I, next post, like, next post, toys. That's not going to work. You have to have the whole thing in there. So, and they're going to randomly select the posts on Sunday, August 11th. So,
it doesn't sound like it has anything to do with what you're posting about, as long as you are furthering the conversation.
Right. Yep. And for a lot of people out there, that's not going to be a change from anything they're doing already. So, you know, keep an eye out on it. Check the forums just to see exactly what's going on with it. But, you know, it's going to be...
That quarter-scale Han would be great.
Yeah, and I tell you, I love that.
I know Sideshow has been practically giving these things away. I mean, they show up in a lot of contests, let's be honest. Well, they show up in a lot of contests. And I guess it's probably the price point, but darn if it's not a nice-looking
piece. Yeah, it's beautiful. And I love the character keys. I wish I would have kind of gotten into them. The Dooku one is actually the wallpaper on my cell phone.
Oh, really?
Which I love. It's
but
it's
this
awesome.
This animated Dooku,
yeah,
is on
animated
your
Dooku. So
oh, that's pretty cool.
It was my favorite picture out of all the ones I had to choose from. So
yeah, I can't really change the wallpaper on my phone.
Well,
and why would I? It's an iPhone. You know, you wouldn't expect the iPhone to be able to have customizable wallpaper or ringtones, would you? No, not at all. The free phones that they give you at the store when you sign up, those have customizable wallpaper. And
yeah.
I shouldn't complain. I really like my iPhone, but that's one of the things that irks me because I had that cool Darth Vader ringtone.
You did. It was great.
Yeah.
We always knew who it was. So.
Well, anyway, so check that out at rebelscum.com. And look, if you don't win in those forums, you can always come over at our forums and play just for the heck of it.
Yes.
While we're apologizing, we did get an email from, who is this? From Smiley Face? No, from Jay. Jay with his little smiley faces here. He just wanted to follow up and, you know, clear the air. He knows that Kit Fisto is not a Fiorin, that Kit Fisto is a Nautilin, and that Rav from the Star Wars Legacy comic book is a Fiorin. They looked very, very close.
Yes.
Not unlike Vulcans and Romulans. Sorry. I thought that's just for you because I love the look. I love the look that I get. Well, not in Next Generation. They look quite different, but and well, in the
yeah, I couldn't believe they
in
went
the classic
in that
series.
that's because they had three makeup.
Hey,
rooms.
Speaking of Legacy,
yes,
real quick, I want to throw this in here. Caught up, read the last three issues. Mm-hmm. I think it was like 13, 14, and 15, and I'm so in. I've been in, but. It's been like 3 months since you or I made it to pick up the comics at our local comic book shop, and I'm anxious for you to read them because they're very, very cool, and it just looks like what's going to be coming down the pike here is even cooler. So
well, you know, they've got the big announcement or the big arc story arc involving Darth Krayt and
right.
his origin. And there's actually a couple stories going on over at theforce.net by Paul. I think it's Paul. Is it Paul?
Well, you know, the guy over there at theforce.net. I think it's Paul. I think it's Paul. Yeah.
Discussing, you know, the background of who he may be and, more importantly, why he's become the way he is and all that stuff. So if you want to get in on that, I've been kind of circling it
because
I don't know if I want to, you know, put anything into it, you know. If I want to read it and give anything away, but it is Paul, by the way.
Can I go on a tangent?
Please do.
All right, so the new Harry Potter book just came out last week, right? Okay, so you might have heard.
It really
wasn't that big of a story, but here's the thing. I'm a little envious of, well, I mean, now it's over, but I was a little envious of the Potter fans, and I consider myself a Potter fan. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm not, you know, crazy. I'm not. My wife is kind of a crazy Potter fan.
Mm.
She would dress up in costume, I think. If
wow, that is a huge step.
Yeah, I think she would. But anyway, I'm a little envious because the storyline is so focused
mm-hmm.
at this point. Now, I think that there's probably going to be new stuff coming in, and there will probably be like Harry Potter EU or the equivalent of. But the thing with Star Wars is we can't like all rally around one particular storyline right mm-hmm. now, because you got the Legacy of the Force, you know, the novels, you got the Legacy comic book, you got the Rebellion comic book, you got the Dark Times comic book, you have, you know, other isolated novels, you know, here and there, and that's cool and that's good because it gets the, you know it furthers the whole EU, but it'd be really cool if each release, particularly with the novels, was more of an event. And maybe it is for the people that are die hard reading all of them, but it just seems like there's so much Star Wars product in terms of EU particular, well, and collectibles too, but I'm really talking about just a way to kind of rally the community, and maybe the Unleashed will do it. Force Unleashed.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. You know, unfortunately, you know, the difference in the Star Wars universe as opposed to the Potter universe is that those are book driven. The stories are book driven.
Absolutely. Right.
You know, whereas in Star Wars it is movie driven. That's where the foundation of the whole universe starts, and then everything spreads out from there. So
that's true.
It's a little bit different of an animal, but I think the Force Unleashed and the premieres of the cartoon series and live action series will have more
maybe
of
focus a little more
of that. Yeah,
yeah.
Because they'll reach a more diverse audience. You know, the books at this point aren't quite as big because there's so much out there in the Star Wars universe. You may be farther behind, like I am, where you know you're not quite caught up to the point where you're anticipating the next release.
But maybe with Force Unleashed, you can just all you have to be is a fan of the films,
right?
And you can jump right in,
right?
So that's cool. Anyway, that's the little tangent.
That's
there.
The tangent.
Let's see what else. I think this is another thing that you put up here: the Galactic Empire Network. Blah blah blah. Well, speaking of the books, how about winning two signed limited edition posters from Hans Jensen, the illustrator of Star Wars, The Complete Cross Sections, and, this is where the books come in, two copies of You Can Draw Star Wars, signed by author and illustrators Bonnie Burton, Matt Bush, and Tom Hodges. So you can do that at galacticempire.net, and we'll have the link on our show notes, courtesy of
McSally.
McSally,
one
of the...
Thank you, Mick, for stepping up to take care of those, and... we'll keep our fingers crossed. I hope I can walk you through it well enough so that you're set and running.
Well, I appreciate it.
I have a feeling that once he does it once or does one part of the post, he'll go, I don't need you anymore. I can take care of this on
well,
my own.
You know, you look at the show notes, it's like, okay, you say 10 or 12 links or whatever. But Pete, you know, because you've done them. You know, after you record the show and maybe do a little bit of editing. We don't do much editing, believe it or not.
Not anymore.
You know, and do the editing and upload the show for some reason and sit there and strain. All right, what am I going to write about? What you know?
Yeah.
What paragraph? All right, join Pete and Jason as they discuss. You know, you do this. This is like inside the podcaster studio here. But you do that, and by the time you get all that done, you do not want to do the show notes.
Right.
Links. Yeah. And so Mick's going to do them, and that's... fantastic.
Yes, we really appreciate him helping us out
can't
with that.
Thank him enough.
And hopefully you'll be hearing more from him as the weeks come along. So,
yes.
We'll just throw that out.
Very much so. And I'm sure that the listeners will appreciate the fact that the show notes will actually get done. It's one thing we know with Mick. They will get done.
This is the Weekly Forcecast with Jason and Pete.
While my son's at fat camp, I cleaned out his room. How much will you give me for this?
Probably nothing, but let us see. Who? Handwritten script for Star Wars by George Lucas? Princess Leia's anti-jiggle breast tape. Film reel labeled alternate ending. Luke's father is Chewbacca. Oh! I'll give you $5 for the box.
Sold.
The galaxy is listening.
I have good news for you, my lord.
That's good news.
Come closer, I have good news.
And we do have good news. How about any fanboys in the audience? Anybody? Anybody? Pete?
My hand is up.
Your hand is up. All right, the search
is... it's a podcast sometime, you know?
The search is on for the ultimate Star Wars fanboy or fangirl. This was announced here recently to coincide with the... folks, Kyle Newman and his band of folks that are responsible for the Fanboys film. They'll be at Comic-Con this weekend. They'll have a little Q&A session and showing some clips, a sneak preview of sorts of scenes from the film. And it's going to kick off this contest looking for the ultimate Star Wars fanboy or girl. What you do is you basically upload a video to the fanboyscontest.com website or dailymotion.com. And they'll pick some 10 finalists, and from there they'll pick a winner. And what's the winner get? Well, how about an actual role, or, you know, you'll be seen. Let's put it that way.
A walk-on role.
A walk-on role of the movie Fanboys. They're going to be doing some, I think they're doing some reshoots and picking up, doing some pickups maybe. Is that what you call it?
Yes.
I don't know. I'm not in the biz. Some
you're not
pickups.
Down with the lingo.
No, and so they'll be doing that, and so this lucky person, whoever wins, I think I'm going to sneeze. Better take it, Pete.
Okay, the lucky film will also be featured on the special on the DVD release as a special feature. So go to fanboycontest.com or dailymotion.com to submit your entry. And
do you think we should enter?
I don't think that would be fair.
Well, we wouldn't win, but well, it would be kind of funny.
Is we really wouldn't win because we're not.
Right.
Although we can say we do a podcast.
And that, well, and that, I mean, that how much more of a fanboy times, can you get?
Right, exactly.
To do that a podcast. Does,
that does get me a lot of geek cred,
yes,
as they say. But, you know, I don't think it would be fair because that would put undue pressure on Kyle to pick us.
Well, that's right. Yeah, he would have to, wouldn't
that's
he?
That's right.
Wouldn't he?
So we don't want to do that to him.
Or he'd have to recuse himself from the judging.
Right.
But I think it's great. I mean, obviously having a walk-on role in the movie is great. The video that the winning video will be promoted on the Fanboys website, which is where, by the way, is there one?
Fanboys.com.
I don't know if there's an official. Well, I mean, there's the fanboyscontest.com.
Right, Fanboys.
But I don't know if the official Fanboys website has launched yet. I'll have to look into that. The links here are all pointing to coming soon.
Yes.
Being that it's a coming soon story, it makes sense. And also, like you said, the DVD has a special feature on the DVD. Now, that's very cool.
Right.
Because for whatever this film does in the theaters, one thing we know, it's going to be a huge hit on DVD.
Yes.
This has the makings of cult classic written all over it.
Well, I think it's going to do fantastic all the way around. And we do have someone speaking to that who saw that at Celebration Europe who says that the same thing that said, out of everything, that was the best part of Celebration
Oh,
Europe.
Really? Well, is that voicemail later on. Is that coming up? Oh, great.
Yes. You know, we saw parts, we loved it, enjoyed every moment of it. So this is just an added bonus to anybody who was out there. And they did talk about this contest at some point. They had the little flyers, mm-hmm. if you remember, during Celebration 4. So.
Right. Well, we have a clip here from Kyle Newman, Speak of the Devil, as he talks a little bit about this contest.
Hi, everybody. I'm Kyle Newman, director of Fanboys. I'm moving by a group of friends who set up a road trip to break into Skywalker Ranch to see Star Wars Episode 1 before its release. And this is your chance to be a part of it. All you have to do is shoot a video of yourself, 3 minutes long or shorter, telling us or showing us why you are the world's ultimate Star Wars fan. And the prize, a walk-on role in My Movie Fanboys, coming soon to theaters everywhere. So good luck, or as they say in Star Wars, may the Force be with you.
Fanboys.
Stop! Are those pigs and blankets?
Hey, and a variety of dipping sauces.
October 31st, 1998. Wasn't just Halloween.
Official Episode 1 countdown. 6 months, 12 days, 8 hours, and some change. Look, guys, we could see the movie tonight.
Please, not this again.
A group of friends.
Linus laid the whole thing out in fifth grade.
Plotted the biggest heist in American history.
Floor plan is at Lucas Ranch.
What's your game plan?
We drive the whole country and steal ourselves a print!
It's all there. Maps, passcodes.
How did you score all this stuff?
Are you kidding? I'm William Shatner. I can score anything.
How far would you go?
I can't believe we're in enemy territory.
Captain Picard was born on this very spot, hence the statue immortalizing him.
Gay.
Captain Picard is not gay, he's British.
He wears a singlet.
Han Solo's a dirtbag.
Nobody calls Han Solo a dirtbag.
Fanboys.
Hurry! Let's go! Quick, get in the garbage chute!
I have a bad feeling about this.
You guys don't think that
the walls are not going to close in on us.
Why?
You know, there are two lines there that I can listen to over and over and never get tired of. The one, I'm William Shatner. I can score anything. I love Captain Picard is not gay. He is British.
It was funny just because I was sitting back here just listening and laughing and thinking, just revisualizing all the parts that we saw. So I'm very excited. I can't wait for it. And good luck to anyone who decides to join the contest.
Yeah, tell them the Forcecast sent you. It probably won't do anything but other than just promote
it can't
us.
Hurt, yeah.
Right.
So,
well, you know, Fanboys is just in the news all around. There's a fantastic article in USA Today this week called Whoever Fanboy Is, He Has Plenty of Power. Now, this whole idea, we were talking about this, I think, Pete, before you came back, we were talking about Comic-Con, and mm-hmm. when Jay was on, and we said that you know, this is the new way. It's not that new anymore. It's been going on for a number of years now. But this is the way that you promote a film, is through really grassroots, going right directly to the fans. Okay, you're making a film about, you know, you're making a Transformers movie. You go bang right to the fans. Or Jon Favreau with Iron Man. I mean, he's literally letting fans cast the movie practically through MySpace and other kind of like social networking websites. And this whole movement is written up very, very well in USA Today's article called "Whoever Fanboy Is, He Has Plenty of Power." And at the risk of reading it, just straight up reading it, you got to check it out. I mean, we'll definitely have the link on our show notes. It just really sums up so well how much power really the fans have.
Mm-hmm.
And Kyle Newman's interviewed here. Jessica Alba's interviewed here. A number of folks that have been in like movies that were either helped or hindered by fans. Pete, what are some of your impressions? You read the article. I mean, we're going to get into some of the specifics here, but just
the overall feeling that I got is that now more than ever is that the studios are starting to realize that they've got to shift how they interpret all of this stuff. It's just not background noise and background chatter that's going on. This is stuff that's really going to affect the movies. They use Snakes on a Plane as an example of, hey, this is going, you know, this is what was being talked about on the actual, you know, on the websites. We think it's going to be huge, but they didn't really interpret the right way. They just saw that it was, you know, just getting a lot of buzz. And then all of a sudden, the film comes out and, you know, it flops in the theaters.
Right. And as Harry Knowles, you know, said, look, what you were interpreting as, you know, buzz was basically just people talking about it and kind of making fun of it, really.
Yeah,
you know, this movie's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And so naturally they didn't go see it, but it got a lot of hype. Now, right. I mean, that's not to say there wasn't some hype.
No.
Because I think what happened was the in crowd was making fun of it.
Yeah.
And then there were some hangers-on that thought that was the cool thing to do, which was get behind Snakes on a Plane, and it was just, you know, it was a disaster.
Right, and it didn't do nearly as well as they had hoped. And you know, it's just that they've shifted away now from the traditional, you know, the pulling people out of the theater for a survey or pulling them, right. You know, the exit interview, as it were. And you know, things like leaks of the story and those types of things, and going away from trying to guard that stuff like it's gold to when it gets out, not trying to punish the people.
What'd you think about it?
What can we do better?
Right.
Which they use Transformers as the example on that. So it's really a interesting article about how it's a slow shift, which we know the theater industry tends to be slow to change its habits, which, yeah. You know, we've talked about the 3D thing and everything else like that. But there's so much power here behind what the fans are doing.
Well, it can make or break a film. I mean, right. You're to the point where, to take it a step further, you know, all the marketing in the world is not going to change some bad reviews on Amazon.com. I mean, the idea is that if a fellow fan thinks that it's horrible, I'm probably not going to go see it, no matter what the commercial looks like or whatever. I'm not going to spend my $8 when somebody who pretty much likes, you know, has similar tastes to mine,
mm-hmm.
says, yeah, this blows.
Yeah.
I mean, if you tell me the movie's lame, I won't go see it.
Yeah. Likewise.
I mean, I may see it if it's, you know, free on TV or whatever, just see for myself, but I'm not going to rush out and spend money on it because,
no.
I mean, you and I have similar tastes in films and things like that. But just some quotes from the article here, because they really tie this into Comic-Con and how this is sort of, it's like the Cannes Film Festival for superhero movies. And I shouldn't say that because they're not actually screening the films, but it's,
right.
You know what I'm saying? It's a big junket now,
yeah, it's
basically,
a
glorified junket. The buzz. So it says here, it can be a long weekend then for execs who will again try to gauge the taste of the fanboy, the moniker of legions of rabid pop culture consumers devoted to their podcasts, MySpace pages, and nerd-friendly movies. So what they're doing here is saying, okay, fanboy is sort of like the generic term for that person, You know that person. And I mean, later on, they kind of get into that here. You recognize it when you see it. So studios are actually hiring marketers to monitor movie fan sites. If a screenplay is leaked onto the internet, once an offense that could land the culprit in jail, studios now, like Pete was saying, find themselves asking fans what they think of the stolen goods. And if fanboys still don't like the script, it gets reworked. Amazing. You wonder, well, does it really get leaked? Or does it get stolen? Does it get leaked? And my hunch is that in a lot of these cases, it's probably leaked, you know. But there's good reason to court and fear this elusive demographic. While their full numbers remain unclear, internet and comic devotees can add $25 to $50 million to a movie's box office take. It's a lot of pressure, folks.
Yeah, and I think
a lot of power.
I think that's even a little bit conservative when it comes to certain franchises, but also in what it can do to keep a movie from being successful.
Right. That early, you know, buzz or in a lot of cases the negative the opposite of good buzz when people are panning a movie even before it comes out because it's leaked onto the web, or usually it's a script that's been leaked. Gosh, I remember before Batman Begins came out, the script, in fact, we were working together when some of the script pieces came out and they had recast. I mean, it was just, it was crazy. It doesn't really resemble what eventually was released as a film. But now in terms of the Star Wars prequels, there are lots of rumors, but there was nothing. I'm trying to remember if there was anything really, really significant that was leaked. I can't think of anything.
I would say if you worked hard enough, you could pretty much figure out the entire Revenge of the Sith, especially because that's one that I kept a closer eye on. If you worked hard enough, you could see.
Well, but they left. Lucasfilm had enough breadcrumbs that they were leaving with all of their set reports and the videos and everything. And
There was speculation. You could just speculate on a lot of what was going on, but
I don't remember the script getting leaked.
No.
But maybe I just ignoring it. I had blinders on. I don't know.
It's possible. But one thing that makes Star Wars a little bit different, and a lot of these films different, that just beyond, and take Transformers as an example, you can read the script and visualize Optimus Prime or Darth Vader or whomever in saying these words or doing it, but you can't really get the full gist of it because of they're so special effects heavy.
Right.
So the visualization part of it is an even greater part of what's going on.
Right.
So the script itself isn't as huge a part of it, but, you know,
I know
like
what you're
they
saying,
said,
yeah.
In Transformers, people were really mad because there were so many humans in it.
Right.
And that was part that they
took. Wait till
back
they see the new cartoon.
Board.
It's a whole other story.
Yeah.
But it says, according to Dane Cook, he says, you know, they've created a whole new world for people to be heard. Dane Cook, someone who owes a lot of his career to the internet and YouTube and that sort of thing. He says, but they're not easy to define and they're hard to read. You're either a god or you're scum. If you're uncertain about who you are or what you're doing, they'll screw you up even more. And this, they're trying to define, well, what is the fanboy? Matt Damon says the tastes can be obscure. The movie they quote me most often, not Bourne, not the Bourne movies, not the Ocean's movies, but Rounders. You know, a movie that was largely a failure, but has developed again this cult following.
Mm-hmm.
Jessica Alba, like we mentioned, she said fanboys. She said a little bit like pornography. You can't define him, but you know him when you see him. She says, a fanboy doesn't ask me for a picture or for a date. Jessica Alba says, he wants to know what it's like to meet Victor Von Doom. She says, it's a little strange, but cute. Yeah, I'm sure it's adorable. I'm sure you're gonna marry one of us, I'm sure. This is interesting. They talk about, and this is the reason why it's on the Forcecast. Yeah, of course, there's a Star Wars connection. But they really are claiming here, in fact, Kyle Newman says, that fanboys were born out of Star Wars. That's where they really came to prominence. It says fanboys as you know him, was born in the mid-1970s in Marin County near San Francisco. Conceived by George Lucas, the fanboy emerged from the fringe of basement comic book swap meets and poorly attended sci-fi conventions to become a force at the box office when Star Wars hit the big screen in 1977. They became, according to Kyle Newman, he says they became part of the mainstream then. There had been Star Trek fans, but Star Wars made studios respect sci-fi and showed them that the community wasn't as small as they thought. And Amy Powell, vice president of interactive marketing for Paramount, she hits it right on the head. I mean, she said, the difference is the internet. It's what galvanized the community. Fanboys tend to, I like this part. She says, fanboys tend to wear their hearts on their sleeves, and the web allowed them to communicate, rally behind a movie, see how big their numbers clearly were. I don't see the, let's say fanboys. I don't see us as a community that says, let's see if we can screw with the numbers, or let's see if we can tank a movie. It's just in the course of discussion. I think what you have with quote-unquote fanboys, just like us, people that are really, really passionate about a particular, you know, film or film series or, you know, TV show or whatever, books or what have you. And when you have that kind of passion, you're dying to talk with and to other people that feel the same way as you do. And now you found that this, I mean, niche marketing, rather than selling, you know, trying to reach everybody, that people are trying to reach a, you know, to own one pocket of the population.
Sure. And, you know, people start to respect other people when they can speak intelligently about something that they're interested in. So, you know, when I have a discussion with someone else, you know, that's something that's really easy to gauge. And they say, well, I'm a Star Wars fan. And then they start, you know, they can't talk intelligently about it.
Right.
It's very frustrating, you know, as opposed to when we talk to, you know, any of our fans or any of the people listening to the show.
You just jump online and immediately you're transported to this world where everybody is on the same page.
Right. And everybody knows.
You don't always agree, but at least you got a common frame of reference. And,
sure.
It's very powerful. Harry Knowles is offers up a rough sketch of fanboy. Now, let's see, Pete, how many of these qualities do we possess here? Male.
Yep.
Check. Typically 18 to 36.
Check.
Okay. Has a 9-to-5 job.
Check.
Maybe a family. He's a stable guy. Yeah.
maybe. Okay. Yeah.
A gamer.
Depends on who you're talking to.
A gamer.
Check.
Okay. He likes his toys, video games, computers. He may be an adult, but he hasn't completely grown up. Check.
Double check.
An early adopter. He's on iTunes on Tuesday, the comic book store on Wednesday, and the movies on Friday. He's the first in line for the new thing. Again, my aforementioned iPhone. He's also a skeptic. He's enthusiastic at the mere prospect of something he loves being brought to the screen. This is according to Kevin Feige, head of production for Marvel Studios. But he's cynical until he sees the goods, because he's been burned in the past 20 years with movies that aren't faithful to the source material that he loves. And that's just it. I mean, we have sat by, idly by, folks that are into comics and into comic book characters and sci-fi. We have sat idly by and watched these studios who were for so long out of touch with the fans, Paramount, and continually chipped away at what was once a wonderful franchise. And, you know, then they turn around, they wonder, well, why? We're giving you what you want, aren't you? And it's just not that way anymore. So I think that's part of the reason for the venom that comes out of fandom a lot of times, is because we're not going to take it anymore. We know we've got the power. We know we've got the numbers and the influence. Influence is probably a better word than power.
Yes.
And we can push back. We have a weapon. The weapon is the truth. The weapon is our opinion and our pocketbooks. Wallets for everybody else. Pocketbook. What am I, 70?
Yes.
Pete was mentioning that the Transformers, how the script was leaked, and they're like, hey, don't steal that. What'd you think? And they actually had a Q&A on a Transformers fan site about it. But here, our good buddy Shia.
Shia LaBeouf.
Right. Shia LaBeouf said that he is a fanboy himself. He says, I post as many comments as anyone on Ain't It Cool. Dane Cook says, yep, I'm a fanboy. I was just on the net reading a debate about who could beat up the other Batman or Superman. And Tobin Bell, who plays the villain Jigsaw in the Saw franchise, says, look, I'm a fanboy. Just because I act in horror movies doesn't mean I'm not a huge fan of them, too. Jessica Alba says, well, I'm not a fanboy, but he saved a couple of my movies. So whoever he is, I'm glad he's out there. It's just a, it's a fantastic article. I mean,
yeah,
it, just,
it is. It was. It
and there's so much more to it, but we just kind of scratched the surface. But
it really was a nice, just kind of a
well, it wasn't insulting.
No, it wasn't insulting. And
which
it was.
It wasn't pandering. It wasn't insulting. It was just. It was just very
says,
true.
Hey, you know, these guys are out there, and it's one more thing that these studios have to learn. And if you don't, you're going to get burned by it.
That's right. Drew Karpyshyn,
Force Cast favorite.
That's
say that
right.
Several times fast.
According to his blog, Pete, we've got an update here on the sequel.
Yes, he is. Hard at work on what he's calling for now The Rule of Two, which is the sequel to the aforementioned Darth Bane Path of Destruction novel. And he was actually on vacation. He said he's not going to give a lot of it away, but of course it's a sequel, so it's going to follow Bane and his apprentice that he picks up at the end of the novel, Zana Rain. And he says he was on vacation and just what would you be doing? Your book is due out in December. Why would you be on vacation? Well, he was down there with a good friend of his, James Olin. And how does that help him? Well, James was actually his boss at BioWare when he worked on the first KOTOR.
Ah.
So he said that at least will just go ahead and put him in the Star Wars frame of mind. So looking forward to this. And he makes a great joke in here. He says, you know, he's going into some new territory with the Rule of Two. So that means he gets a chance to throw in a few twists and turns that fans, hopefully, won't see coming. And then he throws in, and if I'm lucky, I'll avoid the wrath of the retcon police this time. Which, again, he talked about
the V'Pod.
Mace, yes, the V'Pod, Mace Windu's style that he had developed, which he referenced in the novel. So it's funny that I definitely knowing him, he takes it all in stride, and he knows that he goofed on that one, but, you know, it happens. And you can do all the research in the world, and somebody's going to find out what's going on.
See, it's even overwhelming for the authors.
Yes.
Something needs to be done. I'm telling you. I just I don't want to knock the EU. I really appreciate what the EU contributes to Star Wars, but it's out of control in a lot of ways. And I think that's why I'm such a big fan of the Legacy comic book series, is because it's set far enough into the future that...
it's not stepping on any toes.
It's really not. I mean, yes, there are, you know, there's crossover characters and there's stuff, but it's, you know, you're not going to be missing out on much if you're not all that familiar with the EU. So all of you out there that are... saying I'd really like to get into the EU. I can't recommend Legacy, the comic book series, highly enough. It's just fantastic.
Well, and again, I will throw this out there that I have become the apologist for all retcon mistakes. You know, it's just from a different perspective. You know, just
a different point of view.
A different point of view. Right. And if Ben can get away with saying that Darth Vader murdered Anakin Skywalker, then hey. Anything is able to go, as Charlie Ross has pointed out.
The ultimate liar.
The ultimate lie.
Oh, man. Well, you know what? There's another article that is kind of borrows from something we were talking about, I think, last week. This is from The Onion, and of course, you know, it's like any other Onion article.
somewhat tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, just a little bit. But we were talking about why is it that... and I had brought this up on The Force Among Us Live, the official podcast for The Force Among Us, the podcast miniseries. I was a guest panelist last week, so check that out if you get a chance. And Chris Macht was talking about being at, I want to say it was Celebration Europe. It could have been Celebration Europe, maybe Celebration 4. He was at a convention, and he was being interviewed by a reporter at, and she said, so what are you geeks up to this week? And, you know, Chris just kind of glossed over it, and I went, wait, what did she say? You know, it just irritates me to no end that because I'm a Star Wars fan, or a fan of any, you know, fan of anything sci-fi or whatever, that I don't deserve respect.
Yeah.
You know, but if I can, you know, if I know all the you know, the batting records of all the legendary, you know, hitters of the day, that's somehow acceptable. So I was just striking this, you know, this difference here between these sports fanatics and sci-fi geeks or, you know, pop culture geeks, and what's the difference. So great article here at The Onion. I'll just read a little bit of it. Pete, did you have something you wanted to add, or you
well, I was just going to say, you know, the geek in and of itself isn't such a derogatory term, except for when you know that somebody's using it that way.
You're right.
And that's very condescending, the way that she said
it. I can call you geek.
Right. But call myself a geek. But
somebody who's not a geek, they can't call you a geek.
No, that's right.
Because I know how I mean it with love. Anyway, sci-fi geek Tim Dansby, the object of sports geek Scott Moreland's mockery and derision. God, what a friggin' geek, said Moreland, eyeing Dansby in the food court of Willowbrook Mall. Saturday nights, I bet he gets together with his other geek buddies and, we'll say, does something unmentionable to Star Wars on video. He's probably never even been with a woman. We're cleaning this up a little bit. Moreland, a 27-year-old bachelor who spends most Saturday nights watching ESPN and checking for injury updates on CNNSI.com, then left the food court and headed to the fan zone, where he browsed a rack of extra-large New York Jersey Giants. New York Giants jerseys. The other would be kind of weird.
Yes.
Back in high school, there were a bunch of guys like that in my study hall. They'd spend the entire period talking about alienation. I swear, they knew every line from every episode by heart, said Moreland. Who can also recite the batting average on base percentage of every member of the 86 Mets. Who needs to memorize that kind of stuff? How useless is that? So they go through the whole article, tit for tat.
Yes.
The sports fanatic and the sci-fi geek. And illustrates the point. You know, geek is just, you know, kind of an obsessive, compulsive, you know, desire to know everything about a particular subject, or a fascination with, an obsession with, whatever. And so you could be a geek about anything. But I think the thing that bugs me is that, you know, it's somehow more socially acceptable, I guess, to be a sports geek, or, you know, than it is to be, you know, into a sci-fi series.
Yeah, it's an unusual thing. And, I spend a little time in both worlds. So, you know, being a diehard Cleveland sports fan, which in and of itself is a torturous thing. And anybody that is a sports fan will know that. You know, Cleveland, in fact, ESPN voted them the second most tortured sports fans in the world. So I'm happy to be a part of that. But, you know, it is an interesting thing, you know, being able to talk, again, intelligently about both. And who knows whether they qualify that as intelligently. But, you know, there are just some people who just don't get it, you know, who think having that knowledge makes them somewhat more of a man, or, you know, more brutal themselves because they watch, you know, something
right.
brutal on TV and can talk about it. And I don't know. I'm happy where I'm at.
Well, I don't, you know what? I don't fault you, because you're, you know, you live in both worlds, but, just a thing that's always kind of, I've never been a sports fan. I think that's what it is that bugs me, but I've recognized this, you know, throughout my whole life. Like, what makes me different than you? You just,
yeah.
It's for you, it's sports. You know, my brother's a NASCAR nut, and I've seen these really crazy baseball fans that can just recite scores from games from 30 years ago or longer. It's just insane. It's insane to me. But I guess the fact that I can, you know, recite the
lines,
the lines of the movie from 30 years ago. Yeah, right. Okay. Point taken.
Yep.
I illustrated that point very well.
Thanks to Justin from California for sending
the
article to us and getting our minds going anyway. So,
well, and I'd mentioned just a little bit ago that I was a guest, as lucky enough to be a guest on the Force Among Us Live podcast dedicated to promoting the great documentary. Chris and Courtney Mock put together The Force Among Us, and I'll have a link to this on the show notes. And it's going to be a mini series. We're going to do 8 episodes every other week leading up to and through the official release of the films. So what's this here about social networking cards? Now, this is interesting. Here's a little variation on a theme. Talk about geeks. Well, now you got to have a business card saying I'm a geek. Here you go. Thank you.
Well,
that's literally what it is.
This is another one where it goes from being okay to being condescending, depending on where you read the article at. But just to give you the background, Get Solo, which is a licensing company, and Lucasfilm are joining together, and they're going to do social networking cards, basically business cards, with the Star Wars logo and you know, Star Wars pictures and things like that, that you can give to people. And what a great way to have those for a convention. These should have been out 3 months ago so that we could take them to C4 with us,
yep.
You know, and have exchange those with fans. And what a cool thing to collect if you're kind of into that. But again, going into and reading the different articles, I would see it pop up. And some of them were just very brutal about the fact that, you know, why would you need these? And why would you need to show your geekness even more with a business card that has Star Wars on it? I was like, oh, man, this is brutal. But I think it's a fantastic idea because
it is kind of a cool idea. I mean, it's like, well, gosh, I could probably go have some business cards printed up a lot cheaper or print them out on my own computer. But you're not going to have the cool graphic.
Right.
And I don't know if anybody that was out at Celebration 4 had a chance to catch up with any of the Rebel Scum crew, but they have these great business cards with this amazing photography, of course, that Dave and Dan do for the site, that vintage Kenner Star Wars action figures that were on the side, one side of the business card, and on the other side was their information, email, and contact. And they were actually being collected at the show. Are you with Rebel Scum? Because I need the Bespin Han.
Right. They were huge. They were huge. And it's just something that would be
very cool to have.
You know, the badges and
the badges and buttons and all that stuff that as a member of the community, you can contribute. And, you know, a badge that, you know, a laminated piece of cardboard becomes a really kind of a cherished memento.
Mm-hmm.
So I could definitely see a future in these. It's kind of taking a high tech concept and making it very low tech. If it had the right photo, maybe Billy Dee as Toussaint from Night Shift, I might have to get that.
You know, that's in the future works is musical business cards. You know, right. You hand over Toussaint and he goes, I'm not an oracle, but I'm going to make a prediction. You've got the coolest business card in your hand right now, baby.
You're going to be emailing me later. I love that. I'm not an oracle, but I'm going to make a prediction.
It's always gold with Billy Dee.
Oh, that's great. How about a big congratulations to the folks behind the Legacy Revealed, the documentary from the History Channel, Emmys, 3 Emmy nominations. Outstanding Direction for Nonfiction Programming, Outstanding Writing for Nonfiction Programming, and Outstanding Nonfiction Special. So hopefully Star Wars, in a roundabout way, is going to bring home some gold from the Emmys. So congratulations to the folks at Electric Artists and History Channel, and Terry, and all those folks that were so nice to us during the... And actually, it's been showing up in reruns, hasn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Or it has been, and you know,
lately, the documentary.
I'll watch it. I'll sit down and watch it at certain points and watch certain just sections of it at a time. And, you know, this is well-deserved, and it was a job well done, and I'm just glad that they're able to be recognized for it, because when you put hard work into something like that, you want to be... obviously, the fan reaction has been great so far for them, but also to get recognition from your peers as well... is always an important thing.
That sounds like you were nominated yourself, actually, a little bit.
I'd like to accept this award on behalf of the.
It's a shame there are no
the Legacy Revealed.
It's a shame there are no real podcasting awards.
No, I haven't.
Well, there are some.
Well, I don't know if we ever have been nominated, or I don't know.
There are some, and there's actually a pretty big one out in California. Those Harry Potter kids win all the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Maybe somebody out there would nominate us. Just do a Google search for podcasting awards. See if we can rack up some of these things.
I think there's almost as much chance as me being a write-in vote for the president next year.
I don't know. I think we might be able to get a little grassroots movement going.
Yeah. Well, you know, the power of the internet.
Hey, Jay Shepard has been emailing us all left and right here. We have another email from Jay who caught and did a little freeze frame of one of the Force Unleashed documentaries, that mini docs that have been on the official Star Wars website, and he was able, he caught it, that there's a document that's shown in the video that notes that according to Lucasfilm, LucasArts was given the rights to use Princess Leia and Bail Organa as tertiary characters in the plotline of Force Unleashed. So that's pretty cool. Speaking of Force Unleashed, we do have some clips of their panel at Celebration Europe. Here's Hayden Blackman talking a little bit about the video game that I hope is going to kind of focus the EU a little bit.
So Force Unleashed is set between episodes 3 and 4, which is a very rich time period. It's an era that is filled with darkness. Darth Vader's hunting down the last of the Jedi. We're starting to see the first stirrings of the Rebel Alliance, so it's a really exciting time we get to explore. Based on feedback from George Lucas, we created a number of new characters for the game. So, of course, there's the Apprentice, which is the character you play, and that's Darth Vader's secret apprentice, and the secret part really plays a big role in the game. So we've created a new Jedi mentor character, this Jedi general who's kind of a hard-boiled character that you meet early on in the game. And then we also have a character named Juno Eclipse who becomes your love interest, and she's kind of a straight-laced Imperial pilot.
In addition to the newcomers, The Force Unleashed features a few familiar faces.
Yeah. I don't know what that was from. I thought it was from Celebration Europe.
No, we do have another one from Celebration Europe, though, don't we?
Do we? I don't know. What's this
one? Let's check the board.
All right, what do we have?
So not only are we using a lot of well-known Star Wars characters like the Emperor and Darth Vader, but we're also using a lot of kind of the secondary characters as well, including Shaak Ti, who's a very familiar Jedi from the films. You know, she's a badass in the Clone Wars animated series, and we've taken it even further, and it's going to be a major, major fight with Shaak Ti in The Force Unleashed, which will be pretty exciting.
That went really fast.
Never dies, Shaak Ti.
No, never. Let's see, we've got one more here. I think this is about, I don't know. I don't know.
Let's go to the audience.
So Force Unleashed is set between episodes 3 and 4, which is a very rich time period. It's an era that is filled with darkness. Darth Vader's hunting down the last of the Jedi. We're starting to see the first stirrings of the Rebel Alliance, so it's a really exciting time that we get to explore.
There you go.
There it is.
So I'm excited about this. I will probably not play the game. I don't see myself owning a next-gen system anytime soon, so like I said, I'm gonna have to live sort of vicariously through you, but I'd rather just watch you play anyway because you're a good gamer. I will hopefully there will be an audio version of the book, so I will read it, probably pick up the comic, I'll buy the toys, and again, I hope that it kind of focuses things a little bit. So thanks to Jay for pointing that out, and thanks to Jimmy for of course, as always, the great sound clips. I think we have a little bit of collecting news, and then we'll get right into listener mail. Yes, we have not forgot listener mail.
A fine addition to my collection.
Hey, what are you trying to push on us?
He's worth a lot to me.
Action figures each sold separately.
Well, and along the lines of the video games, Star Wars Battlefront toys are now available. At least they're available for pre-order. What they got basically is two box sets with 13 action figures based on the game, including some things like ammunition droids, which, of course, I always use those.
Yeah. You don't even know what they're talking about.
No, I know I do. It's one you got to stand by it, and it replenishes you, right?
All right.
Or I'm thinking of the health.
Well, both of them. You have regained some of your video game cred. So
I have none. I have none.
Well, you know, they insisted on doing a lot of the accessories based on what's in the game, which is awesome. You know, the giant rocket launchers for the some of the troopers, and
love the giant rocket launcher.
All the things like that. It's always fun to shoot rockets at things. So,
is it one of those bad real working things though, where it actually has the spring loaded?
It might be. It's a holdover from the old G.I. Joe line, but
probably is.
Hey,
I
you know
the
what?
Action feature.
Well, but still, it's
always ridiculously big.
Yeah.
You know, like they have a gun that really fires a missile. I mean, come on.
But this one
it's
is
twice as big as the person.
But it's supposed to be. That's how it is in the game. You know, it's a rocket launcher for crying.
Well, that I can understand. But I'm talking like the human character.
You're trying to take down an AT-AT. You're not going to have a little puny gun that you're, you know, toting around trying to shoot things down. You're going to have a huge rocket launcher, and it's going to have big rockets to it too. Crying out loud.
Well, it's a little pricey. $75, but it's
for 13 figures. That's not that big.
I guess not. I do that every month, basically.
Exactly. That's a case that you buy. You
that's
know?
Right. That's true. All right. Scratch that.
That's right in line.
But anyway, I mean, it's a good way for Hasbro to get some repacks done, and there's probably some retools in there. I I don't have the description. We'll have to get Dan Curto on there. But see, this is one of those that I would skip. As a collector, I would skip this.
Yeah.
And I have. I got to set limits, you know, and
yeah,
I'm pretty much under the single card thing. I mean, it's got to be on a single card in order for it to, or I really got to need it, you know. So, anyway, that's
my anyway.
Yeah, that's not discouraging anyone from buying it.
That is,
you know,
a dangerous look into your brain, my friend.
But it is cool that they've developed the accessories to match the stuff that you see in the games. That's pretty cool.
Yes.
Now, even though they're not single cards, I am way into the comic two packs, and there's some rumors. Of course, these might all be confirmed by the time this goes live, depending on what comes out of Comic-Con. But there's some rumors over at the Rebel Scum boards. And I'll just read the post as it was written. Of course, they can't get specific. They
cryptically.
Can't, right. You got to read between the lines here. But, quote, since I am posting this info, don't go Talon, everyone. Okayed? I'm hoping we score these new sets at retail. They sound Asajj, Durgit, another Anakin. So, if you,
that was
you read
a nice
between the lines,
job there.
Yeah, if you read between the lines, probably looking at a couple of Clone Wars two packs and at least one from Legacy. So Cade Skywalker, Talon Card, an Asajj Ventress, a Dirge with an Anakin,
Score being one of the Dark Jedi that was in the Republic series.
All right.
Just to give you a heads up on
that. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you. So maybe, again, by the time this goes live, this will be confirmed. But it's always fun to hang out in the forums. You never know when you're going to kind of get this little,
yeah, you'll see
little
something,
tidbits.
Something little that'll jump up on you.
So thank you to Dan, who alerted us to that. It wasn't Dan that actually posted it, believe it or not.
No.
It was probably a Dan under another name.
No, I don't think so.
But anyway, he did alert us that it's a thread in the forum, so check that out. We'll have the link. Now, long overdue, we have a little bit of listener mail.
You must contact me.
Play back the entire message.
What message?
Message, Doctor, the message.
The Emperor commands you to make contact with him.
It's a trick. Send no reply.
Well, the dust is finally settling on Celebration Europe, and we've got a voicemail here from Felestica. Felestica with his Celebration Europe tale.
Hey, guys, this is Felestica calling from just east of London. I'm just about recovered from the Celebration Europe event that happened this weekend. I don't know what other reports you've got, but I personally had a really, really good time. I was there as a volunteer for all 3 days. So I spent a lot of time with the Flebs in the Autograph Hall, but also got to see panels with Jeremy Bullock, with I saw the tattoo competition, the guys from The Force Among Us, the guys from the Art of Ralph McQuarrie. Had a really good time. My tip for the future is Fanboys. We got to see a full-length rough cut of Fanboys. Apparently, it's going to be more polished. The sound's going to be better. But as a film, it is just brilliant. Absolutely priceless. Just non-stop jokes. And lots of jokes about Trekkies as well. But yeah, that's definitely going to be big. Yeah, I hope you guys are well. Thanks for all the hard work. Thanks for doing the forecast every week. And I look forward to the next one.
Thank you, Felastica. It's a cool name, by the way.
And that was one of the things that we were certainly jealous of.
Like Battlestar Felastica.
Sometimes I don't know where you are. but, the rough cut of Fanboys, I was certainly, I would have been excited to see that. But I'm glad that he was able to call in and give us a nice review of it, and that other people are getting that momentum, because I think it's really going to be a lot of fun.
It is, and as fans, I mean, here we go back to the Fanboys thing. We don't want anything artificial here, but let's rally behind this film. If you've seen the trailer, if you've listened to Kyle here on this show, or you had a chance to meet him at Celebration 4, Celebration Europe, or any of the cast, you know that there's a lot of passion behind this, and let's put our wallets where our mouths are, so to speak.
Our pocketbooks.
Yes, thank you. Pocketbook. I don't know. I was, you know.
Every once in a while, I go back and find these obscure things, too. So, you know.
Shenanigans. All right. Shenanigans.
But shenanigans is a hilarious word.
Well, pocketbook is kind of sad, actually. It's like Davenport. Do you know what a Davenport is?
I believe it's a place in Iowa.
No, it's a couch.
Oh.
Didn't your grandparents ever say a Davenport?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
Sorry.
Jay Shepard, how about another email from Jay Shepard? He says, given the news last week that there could be 400 episodes in the Star Wars live-action TV show, it's interesting to note that this translates to a minimum of 16 seasons at 24 shows per season average. That's 384 shows for 16 years.
Well, I would love for that to be the case. I would love for that to... I would love if there's anything that I would wish and hope that would break the Simpsons record for... an evening program, a primetime program, it would have to be Star Wars. That would be the only thing that would be acceptable because I'm such a fan of The Simpsons. However, when McCallum was saying that, I think it was kind of more of a just an all-encompassing idea of not exactly 400 episodes, but 400 different things going on.
I would say that, what I think it is that he's talking about maybe 400 hours of programming, but not necessarily all from the same series.
Right.
You know, you could have a little bit of Stargate going on where you've got, spinoffs.
SG-1 and SG-2.
Now we could have some Stargate fans listening, so don't be dissing.
I am just showing my ignorance.
Richard
by not
Dean Anderson,
exactly.
Come on.
You think he listens?
I don't know. I don't know. He's not all that busy these days.
If he does, it's on a coconut and pine cone combination. Sorry.
He's not really MacGyver, you know. Oh.
That was a great episode of The Simpsons when Selma and Patty found out that Richard Dean Anderson was not MacGyver.
What's with this show? The Harry Potter and MacGyver and Stargate and Star Trek.
It's just turning into the pop culture icons.
It is. But no, Jay does raise an interesting point there. I mean, you're talking about 400 hours. If you're referring to one series, it does add up to a lot, or 400 episodes. So, probably not the case. But good. You know, I wish Jay would have been in the audience. He'd be like,
I have done those calculations,
Mr. McCallum. Yes, I just ran these figures through my head and came up with it exactly because I'm never wrong.
I'd be sitting next to him going, 400 episodes. That's like.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Ooh, that's going to be a lot of shows.
Oh, let's see here. We had some questions posed to us. It's always good to get questions. This comes from what's the name? Is there a name?
Mark.
Is this Mark? Is that Mark?
Yes.
The one that asked us the questions?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Anyway, well, thank you, Mark. Here's
from
some
Tucson?
Questions. Is that what it says? I don't see it. Mark from Tucson. Thanks. And don't forget the galaxy is listening. Is this? No. Yeah, Mark. Mark. Okay. I should never doubt you. Why do I doubt you?
Why do you?
All right.
Anyway.
These are the questions he asked. One, what is the Force Cast's official stance on Padme dying while giving birth to Luke and Leia, even though Leia in Return of the Jedi talks about how she remembers being raised by her mother? This, and he goes on to say, this irked me, you know, but he's asking us, what is the Force Cast official stance on this?
I don't know. We ever have anything that's an official stance.
We don't have official anything.
Well, we have an official podcast of Force.net and Rebelscum.com, and that's about as official as we get.
That's only when we keep the show in under an hour. And otherwise, we're disowned.
Yes, we have gone into disowning.
Yes. Official stance, I can't give you an official stance. I'll give you my stance.
All right.
Thought it was weak. I thought that as far as the continuity errors of the prequels, this one was, to me, one of the most egregious. I thought that it showed a little bit of laziness, actually, on George's part as a writer. I thought he could have been a little bit more creative and answered some of those issues. As far as the Leia remembering the mother and everything, And yes, you could say, well, maybe she's, you know, so hollow images of her, etc., etc. All right, let me hear it.
Is that, of course, you know, she was had those feelings only from the stories that her mother, the Mrs. Organa, I can't remember her name, Bale's wife.
You're like Eddie Haskell now, like Mrs. Organa.
But that she would tell her about her real mother and about what a wonderful person she was and all those things. So feelings, really.
Unlike Luke, Leia's being raised by a couple that lets her know her heritage.
Right, and
her
knew
lineage.
Who her mother was.
Right.
So, you know, I think that there's some validity to it, although I would tend to agree that... you know, there probably was some way that they could have tied it all together that would have taken a little bit together. But again,
the dying while giving birth,
the way that the three prequels worked out is there just wasn't enough time to address all of those issues. But yet he still had to bring it all together. So sometimes
don't get me wrong. I love them.
Things had to be done that were more of a convenience than anything else,
but let's face it,
continuity be darned.
Well, but the last,
it's from a different point of view,
right? The last 15-20 minutes of Revenge of the Sith is terribly rushed.
Yes,
and it's like let's cram everything we can, you know. And
which is again, you know, I know that, and we didn't really get a chance to talk to this because we weren't actually doing the show. But I always thought that was kind of an error because I know that George was very dedicated to that 2-hour and 20-minute time mark.
The sweet spot.
And I know
kind of like our last Force cast. I think it was right around, clocked in around 220.
It may have come in there. You know, and I know that's, you know, something that he's very, has a lot of attachment to. But I thought that the Lord of the Rings kind of opened a new idea that fans are willing to sit through 3 hours of a movie if the story continues to move and as long as it's going on a long pace. And let's face it, Revenge of the Sith had enough elements that it could have been action-packed from wall to wall for 3 hours. And I wish he kind of would have backed off of that a little bit in order to complete a little more of the circle as far as the storytelling goes. So,
yeah.
Was that the apologist view?
I don't know.
Usually I'm a little kinder than that. So anyway, question number two.
Another question. Well, the question number two is not really a question. It's right. That he wrote a song, and he's going to send it to us. He did a parody of A Whole New World, but called A Larger World, as dedication to Star Wars. Now, the third is, he says, I need to know if you guys have ever heard or seen, or otherwise known to exist, a Darth Vader ringtone of just Darth Vader's breathing. And, well, not necessarily a ringtone, but... there is an MP3 that we happen to have, courtesy of Jimmy Mac. And this would suffice as a ringtone.
I was going to say, get your recorders ready, but since you talked over most of it, I don't think anybody wants to use that as their ringtone.
All right. Here we go. It's a good point. That's a good point. Okay. We release our shows as MP3s, so here you are. Here's the ringtone. I will. How long should we give it?
5 seconds.
Five? I think 10.
All right, 10.
All right, let's give it 10 seconds of uninterrupted Darth Vader breathing. There's 10 breaths. Oh, I even gave you a little extra one there. There you go.
Now you know what an uncomfortable silence sounds like at Darth Vader's Thanksgiving dinner. That may have been the longest 10 seconds of my life.
Well, there you have it. There you go. Don't say we never gave anything to you. You can just load that up into an editor and load that into your phone, and there you got Darth Vader ringtone. I had that on my phone. We were talking about the ringtones earlier, and it was when James Earl Jones, they had that promotion with Sony Ericsson, and it was the dark side of the force is calling you, and it was but it started with the breathing, and I got some looks.
I'm sure you
did. I got some looks.
Again, someone saying, what are you geeks doing this week? But anyway, thank you, Mark. We appreciate that. And you know, if you have any questions about what our official stance may be, send them into us. We always like to talk about those. And
the official stance.
And decide what our official stance may be.
My official position on the ForceCast having official positions is that we don't officially have official positions. We just can't. We just can't. We do have some more voicemail, though, here. How about, the host of Roni Zone and the host of the Force Among Us live podcast. Here's Mr. Roni.
Hello. This is Obi Don Juan, the sexiest Jedi in the universe. I want you to know that I am available for interviews. I am the sexiest Jedi in the universe. I don't know if I said that before. I really have a thing for the Courtney Mock. She is working on the Force Among Us. She is beautiful, and I have really betrothed my heart to her. And you can find me if you want. I reside at the RoniZone.com. Usually I am on the Tat TV Live show. That's for the Tatooine TV Live. Sometimes they do comedy, and then they do serious things with me. Obi Don Juan, the sexiest Jedi in the universe. I think I said that. But anyway, if you want to talk to me more, you can talk to me there at the Tat TV Live. That is a Roni Zone production. I am sometimes available when I'm not calming wars in the galaxy or chasing the Courtney Mock. I am available to you. I don't get much to the conventions, you know, that kind of thing, because I am far too busy jetting around the universe, you know, bringing balance to the Force. And let me tell you, the Force is with me. But anyway, please give me a call back. I don't really have a number. Please use the Force and get it, or you can email me at the RoniZone, that's RoniZone at gmail.com. Again, this is Obi Don Juan bidding you adios. Arrivederci.
Ciao.
And who wouldn't have a thing for the Courtney Mocked? She's just adorable.
You think the in there?
I think that's the funniest thing in the world.
It
when
just
you refer
kills
to somebody,
the Courtney Mocked. Yes.
I thought that was funny.
But no, she's quite a lady.
Yes.
Courtney Mocked.
Well, and we won't say any more because, you know, you don't want to offend Chris, because I know how I am with my sisters. It's saying something nice.
Oh, that's
about
true. I didn't even think about that.
Your
sister's right.
Pretty. Yeah, thank you very much. No, she's really hot. All right, that's enough, buddy. We know how that goes down.
Do you get that? See, I don't have a sister, so I don't.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I get that.
I actually used to get that about my mom. Yeah, that was always
that's
fun.
That's the first, when somebody says that about your mom, you just go, no, stop.
Yeah, right.
You don't give the
having
one
the
thank
hot
you.
Mom. Yeah. I was cursed with the hot mom for many years. Now she's old now, and it's fantastic. I like it. She's old and wrinkled up and used, and you know, I don't have to worry about that anymore. But that was, you know, junior high was great.
Yes, I'll bet that was a fun time for you.
It was wonderful. Oh, hey, we do have one more listener mail. This is from Qui-Gon in North Carolina. Has a great story about meeting a Star Wars artist. Take it away, Qui-Gon.
Hey guys, this is Qui-Gon Jinn from North Carolina calling in with a belated C4 tale. I apologize for the delay in that, but post C4 stress syndrome work and other assorted real-life events have kind of delayed the call a bit. Anyhow, my favorite C4 experience was shockingly not sitting by the ForceCast crew at the Force Among Us panel, though thrilling though that was, but rather courtesy of an artist in Artist Alley. To set this up briefly, I need to take a step back to C3. When wandering around the exhibition floor, I saw an art print I really liked, kind of an Art Nouveau-ish sort of thing. It had a lot of squares, and each one had a different color and had a portrait of a different character. The artist wasn't at the booth, but I bought one from the assistant, took it home, and matted and framed it. So now at C4, I'm wandering through Artist Alley, kind of just looking for something to do after being annoyed at Gentle Giant's lack of planning in their booth and their exclusives, and I noticed that print hanging in one of the guy's areas. So I asked the artist if it was his print, and he said yes. His name was Russell Walks. I told him the backstory and how much I enjoyed it, and that it had the distinction of being the only Star Wars poster that my wife has allowed me to hang outside of the designated Star Wars room. So we chatted for a bit, and he mentioned that he did a companion piece for C4, not his official print for C4, but another one that he had done. But there was a shipping problem that hadn't arrived yet. So we chatted a little bit, and I said I'd stop back one of the other days and check it out. So I stopped back at Saturday around 6 p.m. and found out the print had arrived, and it was very cool. Six sections, one for each movie, one color per section with, you know, different movie characters in each section. And I said I was tempted to buy it, but I wasn't really sure where I was going to put it because I didn't know if I'd be able to convince my wife, Diana, to hang another piece outside of the Star Wars room, and I just didn't have room for another big poster. Russell said he was sure he could convince my wife if I stopped back tomorrow, because he was on his way out somewhere, and he'd be happy to call her. So Sunday I stopped back, called my wife, said I found a cool print and had someone that wanted to speak with her about it. So Russell got on the line, introduced himself, proceeded to explain to Diana how this was a perfect companion piece to the one already hanging in her hallway, and that the color schemes were very pleasing, and how no well-dressed home should be without one, and basically just doing a great sales pitch. So I got back on the line, said goodbye to Diana, and Russell asked me, so did I convince her? And I said, Diana's comment was, okay, who was that really? Despite my assurances, she did not believe that it was really the artist. So Russell asked if I had a camcorder, which I did. He then proceeded to record a very charismatic personal message to Diana, extolling the virtues of the prince and how nice I was and how much he appreciated her allowing his artwork to be displayed in his home. Needless to say, I bought the print, and I now have a great story behind it, and I'm completely convinced that if the artist gig doesn't work out, which it will because he's a very good artist, Russell has a wonderful future in marketing because he is also very good at that. So that's my tale. I did enjoy briefly chatting with you guys. I have enjoyed listening to your podcast, and I will look forward to the upcoming episodes and talk to you later. Bye.
Well,
that's a great tale. I talked to Russ and I met with him at C4, and he is just a really nice, fun guy to talk to. So that as soon as he started talking about what was going on, I was like, I know where this is going. Russ is going to call her and make her let him put it up. So
that's very cool.
And he even went a step further. But great tale.
I love the fact that these artists, these Star Wars artists, and I mean, I'm sure some of them don't want to necessarily be branded as a Star Wars artist. These artists, but particularly the ones that work in the Star Wars universe, I think it's great that they're really developing their own followings and becoming kind of celebrities in a way in their own right.
Yeah.
It's very, very cool. Glad that we could help in our own small way to facilitate that, particularly all of your hard work. That's going to be our show for this week. This one went flying by really fast.
Yeah.
So you want to get involved, there's lots of ways to do it. Pete, tell them how.
Well, you can get in on the voicemail racket if you send us one at 330-871-4TFN if you're dialing us on the phone. Or if you have Skype and it's a free program, you can send us one at username ForceCast. Or if you want to do it MP3, you can send it to podcast@theforce.net. Or if you just want to send us some questions, get our official, unofficial, unofficial, official stance on anything, send us an email at podcast@theforce.net. Check out the forums at Rebel Scum. Make sure you're in on the contest for the free giveaways. Check out our YouTube channel at username theforce.net. There's all sorts of stuff going on. I'm getting overwhelmed. There's Cafe Press merchandise. It's an extravaganza.
You selling used cars?
Yes.
Or?
Me and Russ Walks are out there putting up paintings and everything else.
Hey, we've got a little outro music here. Thanks to John Fagan, who put this little bit together called ForceCast Shenanigans.
I love the word shenanigans.
For the ForceCast, oh, thank you, Jimmy Mack. Thank you, Dustin. Thank you, Jay. Thank you, Dan Curto, wherever you are. Appreciate it very much. And thank you, Pete. For the ForceCast, I'm Jason.
And I'm Pete.
And remember,
the Force will be with you. Always.
Absolutely. Princess Leia as a bounty hunter named Boosh. I just like doing that.
Yeah, I know.
That's number two, the bad impression. Actually, that's a bad impression of a bad impression.
Another bad impression by the ForceCast crew.
Shenanigans. Absolutely. 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 Shenanigans. Absolutely. 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 Absolutely.
Princess Leia as a bounty hunter named Boosh. I just like doing that.
Yeah, I know.
That's number two, the bad impression. Actually, that's a bad impression of a bad impression.
Shenanigans. Absolutely. 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 Shenanigans. Absolutely. 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 Absolutely.
Pete, what is this about?
Well, just to give you highlights, the police did arrest a Chewbacca impersonator in front of Rahman's Chinese Theater. He was accused of headbutting a Hollywood tour guide. And as I went through the story, I didn't realize this because I've never been there. But there are several street performers out there, and you take pictures with them, and you can give them tips or not give them tips, which apparently was the case. Chew was chasing someone down, and the tour guide said he was harassing tourists. And I guess it just led to this altercation, and the security guards kind of were ushering him away and told him to go take a walk. And then he took off his Wookiee head. He came over and said, "No one can tell this Wookiee what to do," and headbutted the guy. And at that point, it became battery. And Chewbacca went to jail.
Oh,
now, I'm going to win the costume contest with this sweet Chewbacca costume.
Or I'm going to use it as a disguise for assault and battery. I've always kind of thought maybe Bib Fortuna and Jedi Luke would sit down at some point.
Iza, the Jedi.
All right, one game.
Jedi Antoon.
Another bad impression by the Force Casper.
Shenanigans. Absolutely. 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 Shenanigans. Absolutely. 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 Shenanigans. Absolutely. 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 Absolutely, 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 absolutely.
You know, when they were fleeing Bespin, I'm thinking that, you know, Han had a little travel trunk on the Falcon, and he's like, "Hey, this will fit.
What do we have here?
Some cool clothes." Adam Alexander Star Wars dolls, these things are just really creepy. And I don't know if there are any Madame Alexander doll collectors out there, but other than the Devil's action figure, I don't know how to describe. how would you describe these, Pete?
I'm really expecting there to be an action feature where you press a button on their back and the head spins around and spews green stuff at you. Because it certainly could be something that's possessed.
It's funny that, you know, my goodness, 8 years after the fact, there's poor Ahmed, still having to defend.
Still having to go, no, he wasn't the worst character ever.
He was a film pioneer! So, our best two...
A pioneer, I tell ya! Rursa!
Rursa! We need Jay Shepard for that bad impression.
This podcast is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names and sounds of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars-related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of TheForce.net, LLC, unless otherwise indicated.